You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
It is time.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for SB Nation. I cover the NFL around the internet, and you can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. You can like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Play, on Himalaya. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast in the state of Wisconsin, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. It is rookie orientation day. Rashawn Gary, the Packers' 12th pick. Well, it is he was the 12th pick in the first round. He was the Packers' first pick, their first overall pick, though he was the 12th overall pick in the NFL draft. And it was a pick that was controversial is the wrong way to phrase it. He wasn't controversial in the way that we generally think about controversial, but that pick drew some raised eyebrows, including from yours truly. And, you know, the more that I've looked at it, the more that I've studied it, and this was not, you know, me talking myself into it. There have been plenty of players that the Packers have picked over the years that I have been dubious of to start and thought, okay, well, here's the best case scenario for this player. And you make the case and you say, this is what success looks like. But at a certain point, you have to say, it's just not going to work. You know, and that's where we were with HaHa Clinton Dix. It's where we got with Nick Perry. It's where we got with Clay Matthews. And a lot of these players, you know, you want them to succeed because you want all the players to succeed. I certainly want to be right. I mean, there's no question about that. I want my evaluations on a player to be right. But I also, I think it's important that, you know, when I say Rashawn Gary was not a first-round player to me, The way that these draft picks work, the way that I think we ought to spend more time thinking about these picks is as risk propositions. And you are taking players in the first round that you believe have less risk. That is what a good prospect is. If a prospect is just for, like, let's use Madden numbers, if you think they're an 85 versus a player who is a 70, the real difference there is the rate at which you think this player can hit. And so if you play their careers out 100 times, they're going to bust X number and they're going to be good Y number. And the difference in those is part of how you have to evaluate these players. And talent certainly plays into that. And skill set and polish and all of that stuff. And so from a skill set standpoint, from a polish standpoint, Rashawn Gary is an upside play. And there's just no denying it. You draft Rashawn Gary because you think he has the ability to develop into something he wasn't on a consistent basis in college. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. And there are a litany of examples from Danielle Hunter to Everson Griffin. I don't know why they're all in the Vikings. To Ziggy Ansah, to Cam Jordan. I mean, there are a lot of players in the NFL that went from underperforming, or maybe not even underperforming because you have to have expectations to be a performer. If Rashawn Gary had come to Michigan, even with all of those athletic tools, not as the number one overall recruit, would we have felt differently about him as a prospect? Because he comes in with these incredible physical tools. And he said, well, he should be better then. And he was the number one. He was a AAA prospect. He was an A+ 100 grade prospect coming out of high school. And then didn't produce sack numbers. But what's really interesting, and you're going to hear this right from the guy who coached him at Michigan, say he did everything we asked him to do. If he didn't have that sort of bullseye on his chest, would we feel the same way about Rashawn Gary? I just think that's a question worth asking. Chase Winovich was more productive. And Devin Bush on this defense was the more impressive player on tape. He was the more productive player. He was the player I liked better. Now, I liked Gary better than Winovich, despite the difference in productivity. And you're going to hear some of the reasons why. And I think those reasons are important when it comes to discussing the Packers and how Rashawn Gary projects in the NFL. Remember, college performance is not the same as NFL projection. Those can be different things. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm just going to defend this pick and find all the silver linings and play devil's advocate and all those things. You know, I am in wait and see mode with this. But I do think it's important to point out, as I have done over the last few weeks after this pick has been made, though I felt it was a reach and there were players that I would have preferred on the board if I were in charge of the Packers, I understand why you make the move, or at least I understand the logic of the move. You want to take a swing on a guy with incredible physical attributes who has top-notch pedigree, I mean, as good a pedigree as you could possibly ask for, played in an elite defensive program, an elite college program, and was not asked to pin his ears back and go get the passer 50 times a game. I mean, you look at someone like Montez Sweat, you look at someone like Josh Allen, and Allen was different because he dropped a lot as a linebacker, but some of these players who got to play in leagues where they just got to fly off the edge and they were playing teams that wanted to throw it 50 times a game, their sack numbers are going to be different. And the pressure rate, and you use rate stats to account for these kinds of things, but their rate stats should be similar. But at the same time, if their rate stats were just a percentage or two off, but let's say Rashawn Gary had 10 sacks last year, would the conversations around him be the same? I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's a question worth asking. Now, I still think there are reasons to be, you know, critical of the selection and dubious of it and wonder about it and think that there might have been better players to pick when they picked. All that said, I think there are also reasons to be excited about this selection, to be interested to see what happens with Gary as he gets the opportunity to play off the edge, to get one-on-one matchups. And the conversation, I think, with Coach Brown really is able to elucidate all of the reasons that Green Bay fell in love with Rashawn Gary. He's going to be in a position to play outside. He's going to play inside. He's going to play with his hand in the dirt. He's going to play a little bit of everywhere for Green Bay. And that is the point. That's what you want if you are Mike Patton. And so when you look at it that way, you start to put the pieces together and you say, okay, the versatility, the athleticism, that makes him a pure Packers player. Mike Patton prizes versatility. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's big. He can play the run. An elite run defender, by the way. Even like I said this the night that they drafted him. I thought it was a reach. I still continue to believe it was a reach. Do I think he can live up to his draft stock? Yes, I do. But do I think he's going to bust? No, I just don't. A bust is a bad player. A bust is Josh Jones, who now wants a trade. And look, we're gonna talk about Josh Jones tomorrow. And we're going to get into the early OTA stuff. A bust is someone who just isn't good and you expected them to be good. Rashawn Gary is going to defend the run and he's going to be a solid, reliable player at worst. And this is my point about the risk proposition. The risk proposition here is low. He is not a risk in that there is a very small chance he's a bad player. And even though I think the chance of him ever reaching his potential is lower than some of the other players who could have been available at 12, his ceiling, his ultimate ceiling, if he reaches that ceiling, is as high as any player in this draft. And so if you told me he was healthy Nick Perry,
where he's a really good run defender and a flashy pass rusher, where someone, and I don't mean flashy like sexy, I mean flashy like he has a game with three sacks and then he won't have a sack for four games. But he's just a really solid run defender too. That would make sense to me. And if you told me he's Jadeveon Clowney, that would make sense to me too. There is a wide range of players that he can be, but I think his floor is high. And so as a risk proposition at 12, I think the risk for him is relatively low. And that's something that it does matter. It does matter. Is it everything? Certainly it's not. But I think it's something that is often overlooked in the conversation around Rashawn Gary and what he can do for this team. Speaking of overlooked conversations, I know that it is not always the most comfortable thing to talk about sex, but now you can increase your performance and get that extra boost in bed with BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And right now, my listeners can get BlueChew.com with a special promo code Locked On to try it free. Just pay shipping. This isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants an extra boost in the bedroom. It's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no awkward in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Again, BlueChew.com, and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code Locked On. Just pay the $5 shipping. That's blue like the color blue, chew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. All right, we are very lucky to be joined by the Michigan defensive coordinator, Don Brown, who had the chance to coach Rashawn Gary, to see him grow and put him in a position to succeed or fail. He is one of the few people we can talk to who has firsthand experience with Rashawn Gary. So let's dive in right now. So Rashawn Gary comes to Michigan about as heralded as you can as a recruit. When Rashawn Gary got to campus with the recruit, the quality of the recruit that he was, what was it like for you, your initial reactions and just getting to say, hey, this guy's playing for me now?
Well, he's a talented guy and a great human being, a hard worker. So obviously just very excited to have the opportunity to work with him. And he did let us down, that's sure.
So, you know, that's something that is certainly, you know, the number one thing that people are going to say is the sack production isn't there. But from your standpoint, you said he didn't let us down. Can you sort of explain what you mean in terms of he didn't let us down? Did he do what was asked of him? You know, what is the disconnect there? If there is one.
I didn't think there was any disconnect. I mean, obviously, we play defensive end in our system, mm-hmm. and we play with an open side end, a little bit of lighter guy, doesn't get the heavy, dirty work, you know, playing over the tight end. And, obviously, Rashawn played over the tight end and really was a dominant force. You know, for example, for us, first or second down, run scenario, we're going to make sure that we don't allow you to run the ball to the tight end side. And he was by far the spark plug he was the catalyst that kind of made sure that didn't happen. I don't think there's a tight end in the country during his 3-year period here that was able to block him at all on a consistent basis. So from our standpoint, you know, statistically, we're always good in the run game, and we felt like it started and stopped with Rashawn.
Yeah, and that has been something that I think if you watch him play, that shows up pretty consistently. He eats tight ends for breakfast.
Eat him for breakfast, and not only that, though, if you watch him run to the football on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Very few guys at that length and size could run to the sideline like he does. There's so many It's funny. I was went back and I was watching some tape today, and there's so many plays where, you know, with the spread run game, and you got the running back and the quarterback to defend. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of shocked quarterbacks when they were, you know, running to the perimeter thinking they had the corner, and then you turn around and a 6'5", 275-pound defensive end is chasing you to the sideline. You know, and then you realize it was going to be a pretty long day. I remember Martinez, the quarterback from Nebraska, came on the line in speed option and obviously pitched the ball. And then he ran down the line and caught the tailback for minus two. So, you know, not only, you know, I'm a hell of a coach. Not only does he play the quarterback, he runs and plays the pitch. So that's a heck of a scheme. So, you know, he really did a heck of a job for us in spearheading our run defense and was really an excellent pass rusher. The one thing playing over the tight end, some you're going to get the tight end to max protect.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the chips, and we moved them around some, but also his production got hurt in the pass game because he missed several games with a shoulder injury. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's an unfair, criticism for Rashawn. I really do. And if you look at it, he had several, and I would say he was in the vicinity of 15 to 25 pressures where he was hitting the quarterback just as the ball was being released.
Yeah, there's always – that's a statistic that a lot of people point to, myself included, where you look at the pressure percentage and the sacks and you say, okay, is some of this just – they converted all their pressures into sacks, or they got a little unlucky and didn't convert very many. Sometimes it's just – a split second that can make that difference.
Yeah, and you got to, you know, for us, we're a big TFL and a big sack team. And obviously, as the year goes on, the ball comes out awful quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the RPO throws and, you know, the screen game just to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand so he doesn't get hit. You know, he was a victim of that circumstance a little bit as well.
You mentioned moving him around, and that certainly is something that you notice watching him. It sounds like Green Bay is going to start him as a stand-up outside linebacker. What do you think, from your perspective, that transition is going to be like for him? And it does seem to me that if you're going to put him more often on that open side without the tight end, he's going to have an easier time just by sort of definition of getting to the quarterback when he gets to face tackles one-on-one.
Yeah, and that you just gave the magic prognosis there. You know, he's going to get one-on-one opportunities, and you know, I always used to say to the guys, you know, the one thing I can guarantee is a one-on-one. Well, if he gets a one-on-one, he's going to win his share of it. Trust me. You know, he's a hard worker. He's worked extremely hard with his hands over the 3 years here. And, you know, I know that'll continue and intensify. You know, he's a great kid. He's a very intelligent football player. And we played him some from a two-point stance, very little. But he did play a little bit. Now, we never asked him to drop. So, you know, that's going to be a new wrinkle for him and a new thing to work on. But, you know, he'll handle it because he's such a, you know, he really is an incredible athlete.
Yeah, there was a quote from you, I think it was before the season, where you said that he was one of the smartest players that you had ever been around. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, why that is.
Well, you know, you go to the classroom and you go to that film room and, you know, the one is he's very attentive. Two, he's also a leader, naturally. And, you know, and he holds the players around him to that standard as well. So, you know, it's nice when one of your best players is making sure that the other players are paying attention in meetings. And it's nice when you have that in your room, in your defensive room. But boy, I'll tell you, he watches it, the film. he spends time watching extra film. So when the time comes to go to practice, you know he's going to be prepared mentally and physically ready to go. So it's a beautiful thing when one of your best players is that guy.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to hear you talking about him as a leader and as someone who holds his teammates accountable, because in the interviews, he comes off very humble, very, very sort of mild-mannered, but you watch him play, he plays with an edge and a force, and it sounds like you're telling me that he is that guy in the locker room too. So it seems like, you know, there's that competitive fire that comes out, even though he does seem like a relatively mild-mannered kid overall.
Yeah, he'll give you the Clark Kent approach. You know, he's going to be he's a first-class individual off the field. He's under control. He's a great leader for his teammate. Everybody loves him. And then when you go to the game field, you got a completely different guy. So, a guy that can flip the switch and you're going to get his best effort on, not only in practice on a day-to-day basis, but on Saturday afternoons, he's going to be flying, and you're going to get a great effort and great passion from him on all Saturday afternoons as well.
Well, that's certainly why I think the Packers, felt comfortable with him at 12. Do you think, this is the last thing I have for you, the Packers said they're going to start him at outside linebacker, but I think clearly, he can play anywhere. They're going to rush him in the A-gap. They're going to probably slide him inside with his hand in the dirt at times. I mean, is he someone you think at the next level can really play anywhere in the front?
I said this, I was asked this question. We played him in our cheetah package as the wide nine. So, he's outside the tight end. Mm-hmm. And again, we're trying to give him an opportunity as a one-on-one outside rusher. In some of our Tampa fronts where we take our four best pass rushers, we would move him in and play him some at the three technique and let him rush, inside in our twist game. And then in some of our other blitz packages, we moved him around some, just trying to, find a way to ensure him to have a one-on-one opportunity, because obviously when you're Rashawn Gary in college football, everybody's pointing at you, to set the protection. So, we were working hard trying to get him free. And we were hoping that, that as the second half of the year moving forward, we were doing some things inside. Unfortunately for us and for him, he got hurt and missed some time with us, and we kind of got slowed in terms of our scheme changes the second half of the season due to his shoulder situation.
Yeah, and it sounds like the shoulder is good to go. Do you have any insight on looked like he was back in the gym 100%. The next day working after he got drafted.
He's 100%. Yeah, there's no question, obviously, he fought through it, the shoulder scenario for a handful of weeks there. I know he came back and played at the end of the year and was not 100%, but obviously cleared by the doctors to play. But, he's really a good player. You guys are getting a quality human being that's an outstanding athlete. And I think his best football's in front of him, especially with the moving around from a position standpoint, because he's an interesting guy because he's a smart guy and he likes to be challenged. He likes to do different things and new things. And, I think that he'll look at that in a very positive fashion.
Well, Mike Patton's defense, it sounds perfect for him then. It makes more and more sense the more we're having this conversation. And I think it's pretty clear why the Packers liked him. Coach, I appreciate you taking the time today. And good luck this year at Michigan.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, okay?
Yep, you too.
All right, I want to thank Coach Brown again for joining the show. Really appreciate his insight. I hope you found some use in that conversation. I was frankly riveted through all of it, because it's just one of those things that you don't get the opportunity to talk to someone like that close to the player. And yeah, it is the case you know, he has a reason to say nice things about Rashawn Gary. He wants Rashawn Gary to succeed, but at the same time, you know, he is not someone to be obsequious and flatter someone. He is not someone who is going to just say nice things to say nice things. And maybe he would in public to a certain degree, but Jim Harbaugh and Coach Brown both loved Rashawn Gary. And I think that speaks volumes about Gary as a person. I was very interested to hear about what a leader he was in the locker room, that he was the anchor of this defense. That's not something that coaches just throw out there. They don't just say those kinds of things. So, you know, I think the Packers have to be happy with all of those things. And I think it sheds some light on why this player was so appealing to them. And this is a team that doesn't have a lot of leaders, that doesn't have a lot of long-term locker room guys that are going to come in and set the tone and be that dude. If Rashawn Gary can do that, that's another intangible value that he has with this team. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Josh Jones trade request. We're going to talk about early OTA reactions. We're going to talk about position battles, things to watch, and why you maybe don't want to take too much stock in what's going on early on in camp. So we're going to have all of that for you tomorrow. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Play, on Himalaya. Check out the new Himalaya podcast app. I highly encourage you to do that. You can also like us on Facebook. You can share podcasts on Facebook. Share them on Twitter. Share them on Facebook and tag me in them. I want to see it. I want to hear it. I'll retweet them. It'll be great. And if you have any questions, any concerns, any issues, any comments, any critiques, any takes, send them to the Locked On Packers fan hotline. That's why we have it. That's what we're here for. We want to engage with you whenever possible. So hit me up there, 920-341-3775. And always stay Locked On Packers.